Hey guys, what's going on? I'm Swizzle.
I'm Rockin' Gamer.
And this is No Regrets 93.
And we are All Things Gaming. Hey guys, what's going on? This is Swizzle, and welcome back to another episode of All Things Gaming. We're kind of joined by a special guest tonight. His name is Frybot, and let's go ahead and introduce him. Hey Frybot, give us your background in gaming real fast.
I've been playing games for about as long as I could pick up a controller, so probably 22, 23 years. My first console, I think, was a Super Nintendo. My dad had borrowed it from, I think, my uncle, but my first actual own console was a PS1 back in 97. And I don't know if you know what Gex is, but that was one of the first games I played Bandicoot. You know, the original Gran Turismo, Tekken 2. You know, perfect right there. There's a lot of good games to play back then.
Right. What have you been playing recently? Like,
I've drowning in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. There's too much to do, and it's a giant grind fest. Mm-hmm. Like, so yep. I'm pushing 30 hours into it, and I'm only level 17. The main person I think I have to kill that I've met in the game is 35, but I have to eliminate cultists to get to them, which are ranked like 45 to 50.
Damn.
Jesus Christ. That's wild. I don't think I've played Odyssey, so I don't...
I mean, if you want something to kill time, that is...
That's the one where they went to the desert, right?
No, that's Origins.
Oh, right.
Odyssey's okay. Egypt.
Oh, right, that's the newest one where they went to Greece and stuff, okay.
And they continued the main gal's name that's in present time. She did the origin story, and then it carried over into Odyssey, because they're looking for something, but
right.
They haven't settled out.
Right. okay, well, with that, let's jump into today's episode. I'm going to turn it over to Rockin' Gamer to talk about some of our topics for the day, so...
Yep, today, or I should say yesterday, Far Cry 6 had a poster, an Xbox Marketplace slot for it that leaked in China or someplace, or Korea, I think, and, it showed off the poster, and it showed off some details of the game. And I can't remember the actor's name, but he's in Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. He is the main villain of the game. So, and it looks like you play as either his son or another, or somebody else. I can't remember. Yeah, his name's Giancarlo Esposito. He's from Breaking Bad. He plays a character in Breaking Bad. But the description that was leaked said that the game was going to be set in a tropical paradise frozen in time, called Yara, and the country is controlled by a dictator named Anton Castillo, which is played by Esposito, and he's trying to restore his island back to a paradise that he wants it to be, from his help from his son, through any means necessary, but there's a revolution taking place against him, and but what we know is that we're pretty much be playing as his... a revolutionary against the dictator. So, yeah, it looks pretty cool. It's going to also have the multiplayer back, and the map editor is supposedly. And there's also a bonus, pre-order bonuses for it, of a skin for someone called Chorizo, it looks like. So, they don't know for sure exactly yet, but they're going to talk about it more at the Ubisoft Forward event, which is tomorrow night, Sunday, July 13th, and I think it's at 2 o'clock, Central Time.
On July 13th, it's today, July 12th.
Oh, yeah. We're in, I don't know, phone time.
So yeah.
July 12th. yeah, I think it's at 2 p.m. Central Time, where we are. And, they're supposed to be, it's like their E3 replacement for this year, so.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be at work, but we're probably going to watch it anyways. Oh, like we did anyways, and
PlayStation.
I don't know. The fact that they're adding the editor back makes me kind of happy, because that was my favorite thing in Far Cry 2 was the map editor.
And in Far Cry 5, it was greatly enhanced.
Yeah, I remember making this giant like open Sahara type world, and like it was awesome. Like,
we downloaded one of the towers from the two towers.
Oh yeah, Lord of the Rings, and then like I'm pretty sure someone made Helm's Deep too, and I downloaded that too, and that was crazy.
Yeah, the people built crazy stuff on that. That was like before Halo had Forge.
Oh dude, Halo Forge is another thing that's amazing.
But yeah, the play forward is gonna have announcements and other surprises, and I think there's going to be a crew game probably being released, announced too. And the recently revealed Hyperscape game, Watch Dogs Legion, which I'm excited for, and Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So
I hope Valhalla's good. I honestly, I mean, I didn't play whatever the last one was, but I'm hoping I'm hoping the new one looks really promising. And
what do you think about it, Frybot, since you've been playing the, newer, or the Odyssey.
About Valhalla?
Yeah, what do you think it's going to be?
I love Vikings, I'm hyped. I'm super hyped.
Yeah, I've been a fan of the series.
But I'm also about free games, so anybody who watches the Ubisoft conference, if you have a Uplay account, you can pick up Watch Dogs 2 for free.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Really? Huh.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I have a bunch of games on sale right now that are cheap. Like Far Cry is like $5.
I am a cheaper weebo. I must stay on top of them free games.
Dude, I feel that, bro. Like,
Killing Floor 2 is free this week also.
Ooh, on Epic? Or, ooh. Dude, their free games on Epic, just to go off topic a minute, is their games have been phenomenal lately. Like,
yeah,
when I had internet.
They did GTA 5. It's been insane.
Yeah.
They did GTA 5 with a million bucks.
God. Yeah, the Viking thing is going to be cool. That's going to be a completely different setting than what they've done in the past.
Yeah,
so
I might replay it or get into the series too, because last game I played was Origins, and the RPG stuff got a little too heavy for me. But
I haven't played Assassin's Creed since Assassin's Creed 2, like the whole Ezio trilogy.
Yeah.
And I mean, the amount of time you have to put into it, it's insurmountable now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was playing with a guy who said he's 100 hours in and he still has yet to complete the main story.
That's insane. I don't think I could develop that much like effort into a game.
There's just a lot of content to go through.
Mm-hmm.
There is another game that they announced they're going to probably show off. They announced it last year at E3 called Gods and Monsters.
I think I remember that.
It's a Breath of the Wild-esque type game.
Yeah.
They had a whole leak of it a few months ago, but there was no textures to most of the game, and it was just a bunch of random stuff. But, yeah, I think it'll be a good show. Hopefully they'll have some big surprises. Like, people still want a Splinter Cell game, but I doubt it's going to happen anytime soon with how they just have ignored it.
I'm trying to think of what Ubisoft makes that, like, would be a bombshell to, like, blow everybody's mind, but
they've already blown everyone's mind. Hopefully if it's like that with Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Oh, right.
And you can literally go from a big, massive city that's to the scale of a normal like city in real life all the way to space in a ship in just a matter of seconds. It's kind of like No Man's Sky, but it's the worlds are incredibly detailed, and they've like created, I don't think they're randomly generated. They created them themselves. Or
that'd
at least they're partially generated.
That would be really cool, though, if they did, like, a random generation type thing. That'd be cool.
Yeah, because it was supposed to come out this gen, but I think it's going to be next gen for sure, so. But yeah, hopefully that's going to be a good show. For the next thing we're topic we're talking about is UFC 4 was announced, and No Regrets 93 is going to also talk about that, because he saw the trailer for it, so.
Yeah, so watched the trailer today, and it's going to be interesting because they're adding two new features. They are adding backyard octagon fights, which, you know, Kimbo Slice got started in that. You know, rest in peace. He unfortunately passed away a couple years back. That. Yeah, 2016. And they're adding the original fight, which would be octagon still, but instead of being a cage, it was ropes that they used to have the octagon chain. I think it's going to be great. McGregor's going to be in there. They're bringing back a lot of the older fighters in. They're adding a lot of the newer fighters in. You know, you're going to have your bantamweight championship, your lightweight championship, heavyweight, and all that. So you're going to have all these different modes, and then you're gonna obviously have your female UFC fighters in there as well.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty cool from what I saw of it.
My biggest want for a UFC game is breaking people's limbs. I'm sorry, but if you've ever watched UFC...
I thought there was limb breaking in UFC, like the old one from THQ.
No, the only thing they had in there that was, like, devastating was you could, like, break... I'm pretty sure they... I thought it was UFC 3 that they added broken noses.
Oh, yeah.
But
I do remember, like, doing that one hit... knockout's the only time I only did it once.
That game to me though, I love UFC because it's so satisfying to land punches that are devastating. Like when they hit it and like the whole screen shakes, it's so good.
Yeah, I miss those THQ games. Hopefully this game is gonna, because I played 3 and it was a bit too difficult at parts for the campaign, and I'm hoping that this one's gonna be a little bit more easy for, because I don't really do fighting games that much, so.
I love UFC. I grew up playing SmackDown versus Raw and stuff like that, but like this is, I remember doing the Create a Superstar mode and stuff like that, and those were always fun to do.
Right. Good. They have a lot of detail in them.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what they do with this. It'd be kind of interesting if they kind of went more of like a 2K control style, how they have like obviously with NBA 2K and stuff, and went control style with that, you know, and used more like joystick, like with the Skate franchise, and, you know, I think it'd definitely be interesting because, you know, it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good for it to make a comeback. You're going to have a lot of these newer fighters who are just freaking beasts, and I think it would be cool, like Swizzle said, to have the broken thing. Because if you remember a few years back where Anderson Silva broke his leg in a fight because the dude blocked it just right and went to kick the dude and broke his leg in half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually saw the clip of that, and that was, like, insane. Like, it bent completely into an L shape. Like, it was wild.
Dude, just listening to, like, the impact, even in slow moaning, you can hear the freaking just bone just break, dude.
Yeah, it was it really, like, I mean, I felt really bad because didn't it end his career? No,
he came back. He came back and fought. I think he's still an active fighter, actually, I think he's a welterweight.
Yeah, I don't remember what class he was in, but I do remember when that block happened, and like, that wasn't it. The dude blocked it with his leg, and it like hit him right in the front of his leg, and it like
hit him on the side of the shin, and it broke the bone because of how his leg was positioned. That tightened up, and when it made Anderson Silva made contact, it just boom broke it.
That's wild.
In the fight, and it's crazy. You know, you've had people like Frank Mir bust open Brock Lesnar, who's just a beast.
He really is. Like, if you look at his shoulder muscles, like, on his neck and stuff, they're huge. Like, I will give Brock Lesnar that. Like, he was in WWE for a while, but he...
NCAA Division I champion, dude, in wrestling. And so, he was a beast. He actually, fun fact, tried out and was on the Minnesota Vikings for a while and ended up getting cut. His number was 69. He ended up getting Jared Allen's number before it became Jared Allen's number.
Of course, it was 69. That's funny. Did anybody else want to add anything to the UFC?
No.
I
saw
stuff about Ubisoft.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. We'll go back to the Ubisoft then.
Okay, yeah. What do you want to add to that?
Do you think they'll have any more showings for Skull and Bones?
I forgot that even existed.
Yeah, it's It's got a release date planned for March of next year.
Huh.
What's Skull and... What's that?
It is Pirates.
Yeah, it was there was that game, 1886, and Sea of Thieves all announced in the same year.
Right. I remember. Okay. Yeah. Well, like I remember it a little bit now that I saw it. He showed me the video of it. But I think Sea of Thieves overshadowed everything for me. And then I actually played Sea of Thieves, and it's really not that good, in my opinion. I don't like it.
It's a lot better now, I've heard, but it's
more team-based. Yeah, if you're by yourself, like, it's hard.
Yeah, team-based too, though, because it took, like, the Assassin's Creed 4 boat mechanics and pretty much turned it into its own game.
I don't know. I'm sure they will. If it comes out in early next, or like spring next year, I'm sure they'll show gameplay and stuff. Like,
yeah, I forgot that existed.
Yeah, me too. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking, like, you know, like what games have they been talking about that they haven't published yet, and that was one of them.
Yeah, it's hard.
I remember seeing that, but I don't.
Yeah, it's so hard to think about, like, what Ubisoft puts out, like, other than Assassin's Creed. Like, they're... I know, and it's just... It's so hard to think about. Like, I haven't...
Like, the, Quarantine, Rainbow Six Quarantine.
Oh, right, they do about, make... Yeah.
That's supposed to come out this year.
And they talked about that, like, 4 or 5 years ago.
I forgot they make Rainbow Six, too. Holy crap.
I wish they made story-based Rainbow Six again.
Phase 2?
Yeah, originally it was called The Patriots or something like that.
We're also due for another Splinter Cell.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier.
They might show it off. They might tease it.
I think they're waiting for a couple more years into the generation before they do Splinter Cell.
I don't... Well, yeah, I know, but they might do, like, an Elder Scrolls 6 type thing where they kind of just tease it and then they'll show it later, like, 2 years down the road. But...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Alright, the next topic is Xbox and EA and Take-Two are all in separately in talking with Warner Brothers to buy Warner Brothers Game Studios, which includes Monolith Productions, NetherRealm Studios, Rocksteady, and other studios, various other studios. And this would be really big for Xbox if they were able to purchase... Warner Brothers, and they're the ones that it looks like they're going to be the ones to do it because they have the budget, and it's supposedly going for $4 billion.
My God.
So, but I think they're the ones that have the budget, and they need it more than Activision, EA, and Take-Two do.
Yeah, I don't see EA getting that deal. I mean, they're already big enough.
I think it'd be cool if Xbox bought it and brought back, like, a lot of the older games from, like, the Sega era of Warner Bros. Games, because you had, like, the Animaniacs from, like, Cartoon Network and stuff in a game, and I think that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And with a lot of these older games being, like, remade and remastered, you know, like, Tony Hawk's 1 and 2, you've got Crash Bandicoot being remade, you know, go back to, you know, the first two or three Tomb Raider games, remake those. And I think it's going to be good. I think a lot of those vintage games are going to be remade, and I think it's kind of under the books right now. They're waiting for more development to come through, and then it's going to be this whole thing. It's going to be nostalgic, too, because, you know, you've got these older games that are being updated to more modern graphics, you know, and I think it's going to be good, and you're going to see a lot of map differences as well.
Did they ever have a game title for Static Shock?
What's that?
Yeah, what's Static Shock?
It was a DC cartoon. It was like a... Oh. It was a teenage kid who had electrical powers. It was on Cartoon Network for the longest time.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah,
I don't...
Did they... Because I know they do a lot of... They've done a lot of knockoff, like, games and stuff for shows, but I don't think so. Had a big enough following. I felt like they... There might have been a game, even if it was web-based.
They might have had one on, like a Flash, yeah, like a Flash site or something like that, too. But I don't think they ever had one on, like, a console. And if they did, it was probably, like, PS1 or...
Well, if this is right, according to Google, it was on the Game Boy Advance.
Ah!
The game for it. For Static Shock on Game Boy Advance.
That would make sense.
I'm not sure exactly when it came out, but it, there was a game.
Yeah, the only bad thing about this is if whoever buys them, they're not going to be able to get Batman or any of the licensed stuff unless they do a licensing agreement with them, which they probably would do. They might even be, because there's games in development right now, a Batman game at least, and I think a Superman game's been rumored. And those would all probably, if Microsoft or EA or Activision bought them, and still continue on and finish those. But we'll have to see. And they might be multi-platform too if Xbox buys them still.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. Definitely bring back the Batman series. And then you have Arkham Asylum and all these other Batman games for like the Xbox 360. And I think it'd be good, especially to bring back Mark Hamill's voice as the Joker. You know, one of the most iconic characters in, obviously, Batman history.
Yeah, there was a collection that was, I think, leaked not that long ago for a remake of those for the either next gen or for this gen. Or was that, did they already have a remake of those?
They had a 50-year Batman anniversary last summer or last fall, and they released all three of the Arkham games
and the
Lego respectives.
Wasn't it the Arkham collection or something?
Yeah. It was 1, 2, now. And 3, and then Lego Batman 1, 2, and 3. It was all one big deal on the Epic Store.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I used to talk crap on the Batman games. Then I actually played, like, Arkham Asylum, and I was like, oh my god, these games are phenomenal. Like, I didn't think they were this badass. Like, I was like a superhero game. I was like a superhero game. Like, who cares? Then I actually played it, and I'm like, wow, this is really good. Like, I didn't think this would be this, like, you can kick some ass in that game. Like,
right. I want to get another PlayStation, because I haven't played any, you know, Spider-Man game since PS1, and after watching him play,
right?
It kind of blew my mind how big it was.
The newer one with the open world and stuff. Yeah, like when me and Rockin lived together, I used to watch him play it every now and again. I'm like, you know, this the open world looks cool, like flying around. And...
Yeah, the bad thing about that to me, the story got boring after a while.
I can see that.
But if whoever buys these, though, I'm hoping the Monolith Productions, they're the ones who've done Fear. I hope that they bring back Fear series. That's one of my favorite all-time horror shooters.
Oh, my lord, dude. If they bring back a new Fear on the next gen, it's going to be the most terrifying experience ever.
Especially because if Xbox ended up buying them, I think most games they would let do multiplayer, especially because like, they'd also own Mortal Kombat with NetherRealm Studios, and they'd probably keep that multiplat. But I think that if they would make a game exclusive, it would probably be Monolith making a Fear game or something like that. It's not as big of a franchise, but it would still draw people into the Xbox.
Because it was a classic.
Did they release Fear on PlayStation?
The original Fear was a 360 exclusive for 2 or 3 years, and then they ported it over to PS3, but the PS3 version had problems, and it was never really a recommended version to play.
I never recalled there being Fear on PS3, just Fear 2 and Fear 3.
I thought they had Fear 1, Fear Files.
That's how some of the PS3 franchise titles went. Like, the first one is usually locked to who had the consoles. And then, to gain enough popularity, they made it multi-platform.
I don't know. All I know is that, like, Fear scared the holy crap out of me all the time. Like, it was... Oh, was it on PS3?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
I just couldn't remember. I think it was past one. I don't think it was that much, though. Maybe. I think it was like a year later. I think it was a year exclusive, too. It'd be kind of like Mass Effect was.
I don't know. If they put a new Fear game out, I will definitely buy it, because right. I remember crying to the first Fear game because it was that terrifying. We were a lot younger, but, like, I mean, the jump scares in that were terrifying.
Yeah. Because the last few years they've been making the Lord of the Rings, what's it called? Shadow of Mordor. And I never really cared for those.
The new one's really good.
I feel like if they do bring Fear back, they should also bring Condemned back. Because that was also extremely, like, scary with the jump scares and stuff.
I don't think because, I ever played that.
You got your Five Nights at Freddy's, which I've never played. And I've heard it's scary, but I'm like, it's probably scary if, you know, you're a little kid, you don't understand. But what I think a good game would be is the old TV show, you guys might remember, you might not, Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
I think that would be a freaking kick-butt game, dude, to, like, bring that in, like, the stories. And I think that would be a pretty cool horror game.
Yeah, that'd be, that would be an interesting game series. Another reboot that they need to off-topic is Dino Crisis. I'm sorry, but I need that in my life. My mom made me start playing that. That game scared the holy hell out of me as a child. Like, the jump scares and stuff for me started with Alien, the original Alien games on PlayStation, because my mom used to play them. And then, like, as I got older, I started playing more games like that. And, like, I don't remember if Rock had introduced me to fear or... if I found fear...
I think Elliot, my brother...
I have it on PC as well.
Yeah, back when...
he did have it on PC.
Back when my dad still had his Gateway.
Oh, like the OG... oh, wow, okay.
He also had a laptop.
You
played it on.
No, it was a desktop.
I don't know, but he also had a laptop later on.
Yeah,
it still
kept crashing. I couldn't figure out why.
It does, dude. It crashes on my PC. I re-downloaded it, the Fear Collection that I bought on Steam, and it just crashes.
Well, I guess the GOG version is better because they usually patch it more and care about it more than GOG than Steam.
Yeah,
why I can't play Cannon Lynch Dog Days.
Oh, God, I forgot about those games.
I get to the main screen. You know, half the games always have the press enter.
Yeah.
And it just... nope.
That's how a couple of my games have been lately. I don't understand, like... you verify the files and everything, and it just crashes, and you're just like, okay, well, whatever, I didn't want to play this anyways.
Yeah, there was another topic I wanted to throw in, which is the possibility of all next-gen games being $70 instead of $60.
It's understandable, it's due.
Yeah, but I'm not... I am definitely not paying $70. Yeah, I'm not paying
$70. $60 for one or two games a year.
Yeah, I can't do that.
And the game that...
I could see digital being $60, maybe. But, like, if they're going to charge $70 for a physical copy of a game, I can't.
Yeah.
I feel like the reason why they're justifying it is because the amount of man hours and time that they take to produce, you know, write the code, design everything, do the voice acting, the CGI, there's a lot of money that goes involved in keeping the same price tag they have for the last 20 years.
Yeah,
they're barely breaking even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the bad thing is that even if they, with that 10 extra dollars, there's no guarantee that they'd help with crunch time or make employees' lives better. It would just make them more profit, which is pretty fucked up when you think about it.
Yeah.
If they do raise the price, I only ask that instead of coming out with DLC as a marketing sham, complete the game, get all the bugs out,
microtransactions out.
Yeah, death to microtransactions.
Unless it's cosmetic. Cosmetics are fine.
No, because me and you have...
Look, I may have spent 10 grand on Counter-Strike opening cases, but that's not the point, okay? Like, I don't know. Like, it's just something about mystery boxes, bro. Like, I love buying those. It is gambling, and I love it. Like,
the bad thing is the first game that really showed that price for the next-gen games was NBA 2K21, which 2K20 has a literal kids' casino in it, basically.
Does it really?
Yeah, you can literally gamble for stuff, and you can lose your VC coins or get stuff back or whatever. And there's, like, literal roulette wheels and
that's
other things you have to do.
That's wild.
It's the most microtransaction thing I've ever seen in my life. It's sad.
That's insane.
Actually, it's sickening and sad.
That's why I don't want publishers to fully complete a game instead of pushing it out. No more day one patches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just want it complete.
Yeah, and I can see games that ever, like, big games like Last of Us Part 2 or when GTA 6 comes out or when a bunch of these big games that have hundreds of hours of gameplay. That... I wouldn't mind paying $70 here and there for good if it's a good rated game and they, you know, complete it and everything without less microtransactions.
Oh.
$70 is justified. But for NBA 2K21,
yeah, basketball game,
$70 game announced, like,
game should just...
like, I'll pay $70 for Elder Scrolls 6. I'll pay $100 for that.
We're gonna be paying $100 for the collector's
edition. Oh, bro, I'm going for if you got me, fucked up. You don't think I'm gonna get the collector's edition of Elder Scrolls 6? I'm sorry, but I got the collector's edition of Elder Scrolls Skyrim. I'm getting the collector's of ES6. Like I have to.
Yeah, there was a firm that talked about it, and they said that most games won't be 70, but they're still gonna be the ones that are more premium AAA that are going to be so.
That's fine. If it's got tons of hours of gameplay and it's worth the $70, I'll pay that.
I can see a few more years into the gen.
I feel like that's how Sportfan will justify it.
Yeah.
Yeah, or less microtransactions.
What do you think, bud?
Yeah, you think it's worth $70?
I feel like right now.
Or should they be worth like 40?
Games going up, you know, it's gonna happen over time. You know, as we were kids, you know, you probably get a PlayStation 1 game for like $20, and obviously,
yeah, it was 40.
Okay, 40. You know, stuff's gonna go up over time because you know you've got all these new like graphics you can run and everything, and so if you could snag like a, you know, a new Xbox game or, you know, what's going to be PS5 or whatever, you know, and Nintendo end up comes out with for, you know, $50, awesome. But, you know, $60, it's going to happen. It's just like with anything else. The price is going to go up because, you know, it is what it is. But I think, you know, right now, I think they should have their basic games at 50 and then, like, your deluxe edition, like, 60 and up from there, you know, so that way... Yeah, they're like, it's kind of like, I think, an incentive. Like, you pay $50, you get the basic. You pay $10 more, you're getting, like, bonus DLC and stuff for free. Because a lot of DLC anymore is, like, $20 to $40.
Yeah.
Depending on the game.
Depending,
the
console, yeah.
It's ridiculous. So, you know, I'd rather pay the $10 and get the deluxe edition more, you know, $10 more than, you know, what the basic edition is. Just like with Tony Hawk's 1 and 2. Your basic edition is going to be,
50,
right? 40, or, $39.99.
Is it 40?
I'll have to look. I can't remember.
That's a good price if it's $40.
Even if it's 50.
And then, like, $49.99 for the deluxe, I believe.
And you said that comes with, like, an extra, like, a couple extra skaters.
Yeah, the Tyrell Peralta, logo dude, which is like the skeleton from Paolo Peralta. And you know, with the older Tony Hawk games, you know, you had Eddie and Tony X Pro Skater 4, you had Iron Maiden Eddie, you know, their mascot.
Yeah.
And then you had Spider-Man,
two. Yeah.
Tony X Pro Skater 2, you had Gene Simmons and Tony Hawk's Underground. You've got a lot of cool, like...
I forgot about all those, yeah.
You know,
you
have Call of Duty, Soldier, and Shrek, and Tony Hawk's Underground 2. You've had, like, a lot of, like, cool, like, unlockable characters throughout that franchise.
I forgot about all those. And then you also had the Neversoft eyeball dude in one of them, right?
Yeah, I believe it was Pro Skater 3.
Yeah, I remember getting him, and that was cool. Like, I remember having that. Well, back to the like price thing real fast. If it's going to be $70, you know how they come out with deluxe editions like we were just talking about? Those are going to be like $90 cuz if you think about it, like they're usually $80. Like you got the FIFA Ultimate Edition, which comes with like the packs and stuff like that for Ultimate Team. That's going to be like $90 now, if not 100. Like that's crazy. And then that makes me worry about the collector's editions because if
And
like
physical media not being as much of a priority with next gen consoles.
Yeah, like I mean, you're gonna if they come out with a collector's edition, who's to say they're not gonna charge like $200 for like a couple items?
I think since it's gonna go in a more digital route, they'll probably do what they did with Titanfall 2, which was half just like a separate kit you can buy with a bunch of collectibles. It's the collector's edition basically.
And yeah, that I mean that was cool. I mean what they charged for like $100.
Yeah, or maybe it's not even 150, but it didn't come with a game, so it was a bit ridiculous. Battlefield 1
Same
thing too. Where it's basically the digital version is collector's edition stuff.
Yeah, like if you buy it digital and you just
physical or digital code.
Yeah, and you just get all the physical crap with it, like I don't know. I hope it's not going to come to that, but if
also,
it does...
Yeah, like I was saying about some games don't need to be 70. I'm hoping that it'll be more priced out. Like, certain games, like sports games should be cheaper, and the games with, like, more content should be higher.
I also feel that unless it's a really good game, get it digitally. Because I'm pretty sure this generation is going to be
the last
of physical. Yeah. Which is sad. Like, on it, like, I respect having the physical. It's cool to have the collections. It's cool to see them.
And lower in value, too, so they're easier to buy.
And, like, the more memory... It's sad, though, because the better looking the game, the more memory it's going to cost you, so...
And, you know, if you ever looked in the manual, some of them have, you know, cool content with it. Like, you can see... They'll tell you, like, who worked on the game, you know, if maybe there's, you know, voice actor or publisher. Like, you know, I'm... Big in Metal Gear, I was pissed that Konami kicked Hideo Kojima out.
Right.
I followed that series my whole life.
Yeah, they treated him like shit.
Well, it's also cool because, like, some games, like Skyrim, came with that map and stuff like that. And GTA always used to come with those really cool posters.
The Witcher, how it comes with, like,
oh, yeah, like things. The strat guide. Yeah, you could get the strategy guide. It had, like, a mini strat guide. It had a bunch of stickers. Like, that was the coolest. Games,
like, stuff like that being justified at 70, but...
Yeah, if it's just going to come with, like, nowadays they don't even come with a manual. It comes with, like, a little slip of paper.
A little warning paper.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Because you can either get it online or it's in-game now.
It's sad. Like, they don't... It's like gaming companies don't... Like, I know most people don't care because they're just like, oh, you know, who cares? Like, it's just a case. But to me, like, that's wholesome. Like, I love that type of stuff. And I don't know. I really hope that they... Oh my god. This video in the background is ridiculous. But other than that, is that about all we have on the $70 topic?
Yeah. Does anybody else have any other topics they want to bring up? News or anything else like that?
What did you think of Biomutant?
Yeah, we looked at the game Biomutant. It was announced a few years ago. Frybot showed us it, and I forgot that it existed for years, but...
Yeah, right? It looks good. Yeah, I mean, it's got a Breath of the Wild feel with the open world mixed with, I think you said, right, No Regrets, it has the, who is it?
It has, to me, watching the trailer that Frybot showed us, it has, to me, the feel of Jack and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank.
That's their names. Yeah, it looked really... I mean, I'd probably play it a couple of times to try it. It's also got that Monster Hunter kind of feel with the giant monsters in it. So yeah, I'd probably play
and
it.
And the weird cat-like characters.
Yeah.
Sandy and you both are big on RPGs, so it might be something that would have a lot of playtime.
Right. My thing for an RPG is I need skill classes. I need, like, upgrade ability, you know, like... leveling systems, and
they didn't show it in the gameplay trailer, but there will be effects because you could absorb different fluids or chemicals to change your character's DNA, as you've seen in the cinematic where he was messing with what looked like a toxic sludge puddle and it was altering his arm.
So, oh right, when it was turning yellow, and yeah
and the combat with combat style with swords and guns as well.
Yeah, I like that. The gun and sword play looks cool. Like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't tell if the crafting thing was just strictly going to be crafting or if there's going to be, like, upgrades that you can put onto the weapons, which would be kind of cool. Like, I don't know. I like the fact that I like building my own type of stuff. Like, in Bannerlord, they added, like, a whole forging system that you can, like, kind of make you, like, you literally, you can choose the blade material, the hilt, the ornament on the bottom. Like, it's really cool, but, like, you have to work towards getting it and smelt down all this stuff.
It kind of reminds me of the Star Wars, what's the last game that came out? Was it called Jedi Fallen Order? How you can do that with your lightsaber.
I haven't had a chance to touch it yet. I was going to wait
for 30 minutes. I really want to play Fallen Order, because
I have it.
Like, you told me you can customize your own lightsaber and stuff. Yeah, sounds cool.
Free updates, I think, kind of like how Spider-Man had free ones for suits, where you can have, Darth Maul's double blade that came out, and you can do all the stuff to it.
I don't know. I'd probably make a blade like Kylo Ren with the things coming out the thing. I think that's one of the better looking lightsabers because it's more medieval looking, and that's kind of more my take on stuff.
Also, since I know you all like board games and I like Metal Gear, I've been looking into, since it's been 4 or 5 years since Metal Gear 5 came out.
Already, yeah.
I was looking to see if there was a sixth one coming anytime soon, since Kojima's not the front man behind it. They are going to be doing a board game based off the first game. That will be multiplayer and story. What's the word?
Story driven.
Yeah, story driven, because each person will play one of the main characters throughout the game. So say like you're Snake, he could be Meryl, or you could be
Corporal
Gray Fox, the cyborg. You know, there's a lot of different.
Like you need to choose what you want to be, or is it like
so how you'll? I think it'll the
trying to force.
To start how you play the game.
Huh.
I guess if you're more be more.
It's supposed to be coming later this year.
Well, it's like I found a Lord of the Rings game that I was showing Rockin, and like it looks cool. Like it's something I would really like to learn and play. And I don't know, like I haven't played a decent board game in a while. Like I have a ton in my closet at home. Like that Tide of Iron game that's like World War II themed. It's like massive and it takes like hours to play because it's a miniatures game.
You have Civilization.
Oh my god, dude, the rule book for that's insane. Like. The last board game me and him played was Squadron.
I haven't even played Risk yet, so sue me.
I haven't either.
I used to play the original Risk at a Boys and Girls Club.
I never played any of them either.
They're pretty fun, dude. They take a lot of time.
I watched those guys at the Boys and Girls Club play Risk, and I was over there playing Need for Speed Underground too.
I was playing Fusion Frenzy all the time at the Teen Center or whatever. That stuff was that game was amazing. God, we might have to add board games to this podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
Or another one.
But,
does anyone else have any other news that they know of, or any other topic, or anything, or if they want to go back to any of the other ones that ever finished?
I think No Regrets got one.
Skater XL drops on the Xbox One and PS4 later this month. That is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be kick butt. I did watch another trailer. Obviously, Early Access for PC has been out for almost a year now, I believe. So they're working on bringing transitional grinds for like mini ramp skating, grabs. There's going to be a ton of combos, and it looks super realistic. So I think that's going to be a great way to kick skateboarding games back into 2020.
Right, and then right after that, in a month and a half,
will be the Pro Skater. Yep, and September will be Pro Skater 1 and 2, and Session is still being made. I know they're doing it for the Xbox One. I hope they bring it to PS4 and the next gen consoles.
I think it's all of them, but I don't know if they said next gen or not.
And then next year, we have to look forward to the new Skate game, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. I definitely hope, with everything going on, they go back to the original, like, story, kind of from, not really the exact story, but kind of like the storyline from 1 and 2, where you're working your way up to get sponsored, you get a board sponsor, you start off with Sam, you get a shoe sponsor, wheel sponsor, truck sponsor, clothing sponsor. I think all that would be cool to bring that element back, but with skateboarding now, you don't just have Am and Pro, you have Flow, which is basically they say, hey, you're going to Flow, you're not getting like a model and stuff, you'll get video parts, and then you go up to Am, and then you go up to Pro. So you have three different tiers now within the skateboarding community of your sponsorship.
It would be really cool if they added like Street League and stuff like that. That would be awesome. I'm sorry, but I watched that when it was on back in, like, I don't remember how long ago it's been, but, like, I watched that whole weekend of it. It was really cool to watch, and, like, that would be cool to compete in, like, kind of skateboarding competitions. Like, they have where you face off against people, but it would be more cool if they had, like, a trophy-type system in there, too, or something like that, where you could win trophies. And
right, kind of like how, like, going back to like the original Xbox and PS2, they had MTX Motor Trax, which was obviously a dirt bike video game that had Travis Pastrana, Cowboy Candy Bartram, trying to think of some of the other, you know, professional motocross riders in that game. But it was awesome because you worked your way up, you went to competitions, you earned medals and stuff. It was kind of the formula of the Tony Hawk series, but brought over to motocross.
Yeah, I'm really hoping Skate's gonna be really good. Like, if it's not, I mean, I'm sure it will be, but
if microtransactions are still a thing, it wouldn't surprise me if they'll have like boards for like $2 or some.
I mean, if they have mystery boxes where it's like CS, where you open it and there's like, you have your super rare stuff, like say like a super rare board design, I'm okay with that. I will pay for that. That's cool to me. Like, you can get clothes, shoes, like boards, like, you know, wheels and stuff like that. That'd be really cool.
All the characters.
Yeah, new character skins, like stuff like that would be really cool.
Park creator stuff.
That would be cool too, yeah.
Giving EA bad ideas.
Why not just, instead of constantly having microtransactions, you know, as long as they have the game fully worked out, wait for, say, quarterly periods, you know, like every 3-4 months, if they have a selection of, you know, varied selection of new wheels and boards and clothing items that they can add into the game that they've made, they can make that as a DLC pack. Just so you can get all of that at once.
Yeah, but the only thing about EA's DLC packs is they're really, like, they milk them for everything.
Yeah,
like,
Skate 3 still has all that DLC on the 360 for, like, $8-$9 a pop, right?
Yeah, and, like, the Battlefield stuff, you could get the... Remember in Battlefield 3, they had those boosts, like, class boosts that you could buy? I hated that. That was stupid. People just would buy those instead of earning all their stuff, like... I never did. I earned all my attachments, everything. Like, I grinded the hell out of that game.
Have you seen, you know, thinking of, you know, sport items, that there are more more people bringing back the kick scooters and doing tricks on them? There was an old PS1 game that used to do that. It was around right around Pro Skater and Dave Hoffman's Pro BMX.
Oh, yeah, and it was like pro scootering and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that game.
I've seen more people online doing scooters.
I think it was Razer that actually went in with somebody and made that game. I know they made a handheld for the Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, the Razer
but I
game.
Cannot remember. I know those Razer scooters and had the competition levels and stuff.
I think that'd be cool if they brought
just like
back.
If they brought back a like inline game, like inline skating, like adrenaline inline, like that, you know, rollerblading. Because
aggressive,
you know, yeah, aggressive inline, that's what it is.
I forgot about it. Yeah, I forgot they had
that. A great game, and then they brought BMX back for one game, BMX Pipe Streets, which is cool, which is set up basically the same way as the skate games. I know we've talked about that briefly.
In the last episode?
Yeah, it was
before,
the last one.
But it's basically set up like skate, so you use the bumpers and the triggers on your Xbox 360 controller. I have PS4, so it's L1, L2, L1, R1, obviously. So L1 and R1 control your hands, and L1 and L2 control your feet. So if you want to do, like, a whip or whatever, obviously, you know, both the triggers on the Xbox or L1 and L2, and then with the right direction, or analog stick is how you would spin it, and then you could do like bunny hops, you can do nose hops, you can do manuals, you can do, you know, 360s, 540s, 720s, all these tricks on that you can do on a regular BMX bike, and it's pretty cool. I mean, it was $10, I bought it. Obviously PC, you can add more maps and stuff, but the three maps that you have on are a training facility, or no, I guess it'd be four maps. Training facility, half pipe level, community center, and then a mod map which has mega ramps like at the X Games. And it's pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I wish if Dave Mira was still alive, or maybe they could bring you like use his name like the Tom Clancy still does for that. And have a Dave Mira game, that'd be cool. There was also, I remembered another game I'm excited for is the remaster or remake. I think it's more of a remake than a remaster of Straight Outta Humans. That looks really good. I loved that game back in the day. The second one I played the most, but the first one I just touched on.
Yeah, I think it is going to be a remake. And I feel like, like I said earlier, I touched on it, they're bringing back a lot of these vintage games and stuff. And I think that's going to be good because you have, you know, your younger generation of video game players who will get to experience what we played growing up.
Yeah, for their very first time.
They'll run their nostalgia train for as long as they can.
For the old ones, yeah.
You know, it's kind of like within music how, like, vinyl went away and then it became, like, this big thing again that vinyl was, like, the thing. And I feel like, you know, all these older vintage games, that's going to make a comeback and that's going to be, like, the next big thing for gaming.
Like, Tamagotchis are back. That's a thing again.
That's wild, dude. I saw one at GameStop when I went last, and I was just like, what? These are a thing again? The dude's like, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, I remember having one. Next thing you know, they're going to bring Furbies back that are more...
virtual ones in Modern Warfare, even.
Oh, my God, dude. That's amazing. The Gunna... Yeah, that's it, yeah. Oh, I should have bought... I had the money, but I bought the anime girl one. Oh, really? Yeah, see, I didn't get the battle pass because...
it throws me off because I feel like my phone's constantly going off and I hear it making the little doo-doo-doo noises.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I haven't been playing Modern Warfare at all lately. Too busy with work.
Yeah, I haven't had internet, so I can't play anything. I've been playing Bannerlord, like, always, but...
I'm tired.
No, I think we're going to get to know section for this week. So now we're moving on to our Get to Know section, and this week we're doing our top five favorite characters, and we don't have to have like a big description of why we like them, but if we want to do that, we can, and we're doing them from our fifth most favorite to our very favorite characters in gaming, so I guess I'll go ahead and start. My fifth favorite character in gaming is Captain Price from the Modern Warfare. I guess you could say Saga now, because they have... the three games and then the remake where he's in, and I just love his humor and stuff like that, and he's just still a badass character, and especially the first time you meet him in Modern Warfare with his cigar hanging out of his mouth, and then when you when the ship that you're on gets all fucked up and he tells you to get up, and it's just like a really whatever, what's it called, what's the word for like a...
What?
He's a very, energetic, but he brings people up. What's that called? He's like a leader, I guess. He is a leader, but...
Kind of.
Motivator.
Yeah, motivator. There you go.
He has that motivation that he gives to the character, or to the player. And then my fourth favorite is Gordon Freeman. And I like him because he just can, you know, he's pretty much a shell for us to put our own, you know, us into him as him. So when you're playing through the games, so he doesn't talk, and the cutscenes are all in it. Yeah, it's kind of like yourself, but you can make him however you want.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, and then the third one is Snake from Metal Gear Solid, and I just love his attitude and the voice actor who plays him through most of the games. What is his name?
I have no idea. I don't know who plays
David.
David Hayter.
Yeah, David Hayter. Yeah, I love his voice, and then. My second favorite is Nico Bellic from Grand Theft Auto 4. And he's my favorite one of those. One of the GTA protagonists. Because of his rising up story and coming to America and all that. And his revenge story. And then my favorite character of all time is Master Chief from Halo. He's just a badass character. I think No Regrets is that. Who's next?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think No Regrets is going to be next, so...
Okay, so we're going to kick it off. Drake from the Uncharted series. Just because of obviously, you know, in 4 you get more of the background as him as a kid. And 3 you get somewhat of a background, but not a full detail. Let's see. Yeah, it's really tough because I don't know a whole lot of the characters.
Yeah, I had to really think on mine. Like, it took me a while, and I had to run through my game lists.
Tyler from Need for Speed Payback, which is one of the three main characters in the game.
Okay.
CJ from San Andreas for sure.
There you go.
One of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
Lamar Davis, LD from GTA 5, which a lot of people would probably be like, why him? He kind of gets Franklin into trouble. But it's because, you know, he keeps Franklin on his toes. He keeps Franklin sharp. Mm-hmm. You know, he gets him in situations where Franklin's like, all right, I'm going to get you out.
It's comedic relief, too.
Exactly. It's comedic relief. And then, last but not the least, Phil Margera from Tony Hawk's Underground 2.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we can have real people in it as long as you're in that game.
All right, I guess I'm gonna be next. My fifth is gonna be Alma from the Fear series, only because, like, I don't know, she scares the living hell out of you, but she's also, like, you have to feel for her a little bit as you get into the story a little bit more. You find out what actually happened to her, and you kind of, I don't know, I kind of felt bad for her, so, like,
you find your relation to it.
That you're related and stuff like that. My number four is gonna be Vito Scaletta. I don't know. I kind of figured he's probably my favorite Mafia series character.
Yeah, he's definitely the best.
Yeah, I don't know. Just his storyline and everything like that just kind of worked. Number three is going to be Tiny Tina. I mean, come on. Tiny Tina's a freaking badass in the Borderlands series. Yeah. Like, she's my favorite. She's funny. She likes to blow shit up. Like, who can't appreciate that?
Crazy.
Yeah, dude, I really love her. It was a tie between her and Mad Moxie. Mad Moxie, just because she is bodacious and funny, and she's also kind of a smart ass. But I definitely chose Tiny Tina because I appreciate her over the series. My number two is gonna be Uriel Septim from Oblivion. I don't know, he kind of has that whole, like, father type, like, yeah, he kind of has just like that, like, you know, leadership role. And it was my first Elder Scrolls game I ever played, and I kind of just, I don't know, it's just like a sentimental thing.
Also, the moment you see it, he introduces himself, it's just epic.
Yeah, it's the yeah, yeah, you could tell he has that emperor, like, he looks like the emperor. And then my number one is gonna be Voss from Far Cry, because he's insane. He is literally wild, but he's also funny. Like, he gets in your face, and then, like, next thing you know, like, he's, like, really friendly, and he could just pull a Desert Eagle on someone and dome him and, like, go back to talking completely normal and stuff like that. So it's pretty – it's – I don't know. He's my favorite Far Cry. Yeah. So, yeah, and then last but not least is going to be Frybot. All right.
Well, I think out of my top five, fifth one is going to be Ratchet from Ratchet and Clank. He's been a staple in my game collection for numerous years. I like how they're able to keep things rolling, but progress through, like, his, like, they did his origin story when they launched the PS3, you give him his grassroots because he's the only Wombax in his current universe, and it's the back that kind of shows the backbone of who he is now, his relationship with Clank. And I think a solid friendship and partnership is pretty important.
Yeah.
For a character.
Right.
Number four, I love horror games, so Isaac Clarke from Dead Space.
Oh, okay.
The idea of being able to dismember something in the track of your own life is adrenaline pumping. The whole series was, and, you know, I feel bad for the dude. You know, a simple job turned into a mission to save the entire world, the universe, and then, you know, your lady thinks you've gone crazy, so she leaves you. And he has to do it all over again. Three, I like Sergeant Johnson from Halo.
Yeah, he's funny.
He's that dude that, you know, I don't give a shit what's going on with you. Get your ass in gear. Get to the point.
Yep.
And then that damn elite stabbed him in the back.
Yup. His death was
sick. That was honestly, like, probably one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever felt. It's like, I love that dude. Two's kind of difficult. Out of recent stories I've played, Aloy would probably be my next person if you haven't played Horizon Zero Dawn yet. That whole story is 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything about it, the environment's wonderful, the characteristics, all the people that you come across, I mean, the whole thing. It's just to find out, spoiler, you gotta find out what happened inside the vault. You know, who are you? Why are you here? And it turns out you're the pseudo clone daughter of the person that brought down civilization.
Yeah.
That's wild. I've never played that game, so.
Like, my heart actually hurt from that. Like, I was sitting here going, oh no.
Oh, oh, yeah, it's pretty good.
You found her grave next to a bench.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. And my favorite person, kind of similar to Evans, I guess it'd be his dad, Naked Snake, Big Boss. the man who
started
the whole franchise, who created Outer Heaven, who kidnapped children to create his own military soldiers, and then they rebelled against him. Who, you know, Liquid Snake, Solid Snake, and there, Solidus was the third one.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who, if there's something you want, you gotta do what you gotta do to get it, and that's where I get a lot of my own from. If you want something, you make it happen.
Yep.
That's pretty much how life works. Like, if you want it, you gotta make it happen.
Yeah, that's another one takeaway from gaming characters, is that they really do affect our lives more than we think, and how we think and act and feel and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love gaming characters so much, is that...
It's kind of...
Give you another...
Perspective,
yeah.
Yeah, and there's also lessons that some of them can teach you and stuff like that, so...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think other than that, I think that's going to be our episode this week.
Yeah, it's like 3 in the morning where we are now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry if we can't think or we have slow speech this time.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that 80% of us drank before this, so. But, yeah.
We might have another show in a few days, maybe.
I'm sure in like 5 or 6 days we'll record our next one to do our Ubisoft impressions and go from there and
see what else there is leaked for the Xbox event on the 23rd. God knows there'll be more stuff for that.
Yeah, we're probably gonna have like another long session episode.
So yeah,
it's gonna be so much to cover for that.
We only scratched the surface on our topic. So.
Yep. But all right, guys, thanks for tuning in. This is All Things Gaming, and we'll catch you next episode.